My scripture reading. My scripture reading is in Luke 15 and starting at the 11th verse. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they begin to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, but all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for these words of instructions on this Father's Day. And Heavenly Father, we know that this particular story, this particular can't think of the word, Lord. You know what's intended and the story that is there. And Lord, we ask that you bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express, and help them to help each one of us as you would have. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. I was trying to think of the word that has to do with the stories. Well, not the prodigal son, but the type of story. Still don't come to me. But anyways, I've chosen for my message title today, "The Ideal Father." And notice we're not speaking of the perfect father, although we know the word does let us know to be perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect. But we're not speaking of the perfect father. We're speaking of the ideal father. And in the text, in Luke 15 and 20, he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What a reaction in regard to this story of a son who came to the point in life that he wanted his part of the estate to do as he pleased. And we know that such a reaction would deserve perhaps a different judgment than what was given within these scriptures. But we know that we're supposed to get from these scriptures a greater point, a greater meaning. And we know when we think of Father's Day and celebration of it and the significance of it, that many fathers face a perplexity in being a father in the guiding of their children. And they struggle between being an authoritative figure or tyrant and a liberal, loving benefactor. And what makes an ideal father? Many things. But we can look to our Father in heaven in that regard and know how our Father deals with us. And we can also try to get the much greater picture from this prodigal son story and try to understand the reactions within there. Many of Jesus' parables, and that's the word that I was looking for, that I couldn't think was parables. This is a parable, and it's a parable that depicts, to me, an ideal situation in which our Father God, Yahweh, deals with us and the characteristics in which He does deal with us. And that is with compassion, with love, not in regard to what we deserve as judgment or just judgment for our decisions that we make in life, but in compassion and in love. And many of Jesus' parables draw on the situations that occur within the family. And this story of the loving father, it deals with the situations that some earthly fathers face. And Jesus gave this particular parable of a loving father as the portrait of God. He wanted the scribes and the Pharisees to see that God doesn't judge a situation exactly on just the words. He judges on the content, on the meaning. And they wanted scribes and Pharisees to see that God loves everyone, including those prodigals. And have you ever wondered or looked up exactly what the word prodigal means? That's a term that was applied to this particular parable. Prodigal means reckless. Also could mean wasteful. A prodigal son, one who makes decisions and then it is a decision perhaps based on selfishness, perhaps based on greed, fleshly lust and desires. But it's wasteful and it's reckless. It's a decision that is made without applying a lot of thought to the consequences. But what we're supposed to get in the broad picture from the prodigal son parable is not that you have a reckless and wasteful son that's rushing in to get his part of the estate without regard to the rest of the family, including the father, but also including his older son. But he's wanting his part of the estate now. But we should focus on not the fact of the prodigal son being reckless and wasteful entirely, but also on the analogy of the waiting father, not the reckless son or the wasteful son, but the waiting father. And what was that father's reaction? Not only to the original request, but the father's reaction to the further developments of the parable. Ideal fathers grant freedom. And sometimes freedom is a difficult choice, and it's a difficult gift in the sense that the consequences of that freedom can be really severe. The father about whom Jesus spoke represented an ideal father in that he gave his sons freedom. And he dealt with their son, with the sons, both equally. Both the younger son and the older son. He divided his estate between them. The younger requested his inheritance, and the father knew that according to custom, he could divide his estate between the two boys. Yet by giving the boys their inheritance early, the father knew that the boys could make decisions that would lead to squandering their possessions. And the father could have said, I'll just keep this for you until you mature at a certain later point. And he could maybe be a little bit more assured that it would be used more wisely. But freedom can be a disastrous gift. The father in Jesus' story may have thought of the possibilities of a far country. And maybe what he feared could happen, maybe did happen. The boy took his freedom and he went to a far country and there wasted his inheritance. And we know when we think about these kind of stories, we know that there is evidence of many others making these kind of bad decisions in life, which is an abuse of freedom. But that's a risk of being a parent. A grandfather once said to his grandson, "God gives every person a rope. Each person can choose what to do with that rope. You can tie a rope on a bucket, put a bucket in a well, and then get a drink of water. Or you can put the rope around your neck and hang yourself." What an analogy. But that's the freedom. That's the range of freedom that a person could choose. Each father lives with the fear of abused freedom. He must have faith that God can intervene even in that. And that even makes you think of the father Abraham, who was called on by God to sacrifice his son. And I think it even speaks of him as being his only son in regard to the one through which the promise would come. But Abraham was obedient to God. He was obedient to the point that he drew the knife into the air. And then God, faithful to the promises, God stopped the action just in time. Fathers have faith that God can intervene in disastrous, possible disastrous circumstances within their life. Fathers not only grant freedom to their children, but fathers, ideal fathers, treat children kindly. And remember, we're speaking of ideal fathers. Fathers that look upon a situation and just don't come to a sudden knee-jerk decision about how to deal with it, what's the judgment, what righteous judgment could be, but apply much more thought to the situation. Ideal fathers treat children not only with freedom to make their own decisions, but treat them kindly. And some children take this a little bit far in abusing the justice system of the father. The younger son just immediately asks for a settlement now, early. And the father didn't just immediately react and say, no, that's not what I want. It's not when I think it should be done. But he answered the younger son's request in dividing the estate then between the two. But what happened? After the decision was made, then this younger son did what he had in mind, and he went to the far country, and he squandered his possessions, made bad decisions, wasted it all, and then became destitute, even to the point of starving, even to the point of being willing to share food or partake of the same food that swine were eating. That's in a pretty bad situation, but you know, bad situations lead you sometimes to come to your senses. And that's the way the word expressed, is that the younger son came to his senses at a certain point, and he realized that even his father's hired servants were dealt with better than the situation that he was in. So he decided to go back to the father. And when he came to the father, there was the father, how did he receive the younger son? First of all, the father was looking for, expecting that day in which the younger son would come home. And so when he saw him at a great distance, he was pretty sure that that was the younger son. And so he didn't wait for the younger son to come to him, but he went running toward the younger son with open arms. And that is the way That's the broad picture. That's the picture that God wants us to see, that Jesus wanted the scribes and the Pharisees to see, is that justice was not given from the loving Father to the Son that was so loved as what justice, true justice, would be dealt out for the situation, but a higher justice, a higher love, one which welcomed the wandering son back to the family with open arms. And not only with open arms, but with a welcoming celebration. And that celebration, one in which the elder son was offended by the actions of the father, didn't understand the love that the father had and the justice that was dealt out because of that. And the son wouldn't even go outside and be part of that celebration. And when the father came outside, he received angry words from the son. And the father, no doubt, was sad. And he was angry, probably at himself. But yet he treated the sulking boy, his elder son, treated him with extreme kindness, considering the reaction of the son. And ideally, fathers should respond to children with a kind disposition. And in Ephesians 6:4, we have these words, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." I can't think of any better advice, any better words for a father today than to bring your children up to know the Lord, to know Yahweh and Yeshua, and to know the love and the compassion that they have for all who would make their decisions in life to come to them. Ideal fathers give their children freedom. They treat their children kindly in regard to their decisions. And ideal fathers follow an example. And children need to see the example of a good father. And both boys in Jesus' story could see a good example in their father. They observed the father's love for each of them. The father showed no favoritism. Regardless of the early action of dividing the estate, it was divided equally and no favoritism showed. Some of the roles a good father plays are of a masculine figure, a friend who spends time, a parent who teaches obedience with patience and firmness. And sometimes that's hard for fathers to do. But ideal fathers find themselves showing that same kind of compassion and love as what is illustrated by this father in this story. Children need to see that good example. A parent who teaches obedience with patience and firmness. A father's relationship of trust in the Lord provides an excellent model for children. And the greatest gift the father can give a child is love for God, love for Yahweh, and faith in Yeshua. And today we have wonderful fathers in our church. We have had and we do have. And we thank the Lord for each of the fathers in our church. We thank Him for His blessings and His guidance. And we thank Him for those examples that are set by our fathers. The ideal father. Today's message to you. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this Father's Day. Thank You for this Shabbat. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for the rest and the peace that we feel on this day. Heavenly Father, thank You for the parable. And thank You, Lord, from those characteristics and principles that we derive from studying the parable. And Heavenly Father, we ask that You keep these things close in our mind and let us use them as we not only deal with our children, but Heavenly Father, as we are able to influence others in our walk with You. And Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, we ask these things, and amen. And let's read the Lord's blessings today together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.